It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. We learn about what's called incidental taking of wild plants and animals that are listed as endangered and threatened species in Wisconsin and how the DNR regulates these permits, like in the case of moving a wild animal to make way for a new subdivision. Call in with your questions about the incidental take permit under Wisconsin law, 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Rory Pulaski is here, a conservation biologist and the incidental take coordinator for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Rory, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So under state law, the DNR must be notified whenever a construction project is proposed in an area where threatened or endangered species are known to live. So let's work with that scenario for a moment. Can you walk us through the state's current permitting process?
Yes. So currently, when we have projects that could impact a state endangered or threatened animal or plant, a lot of times we will have the applicant do what we call removals or regulatory removals at the site. And so what that entails is, say we have a commercial development that may be happening, you know, could be 2 acres of a project. And what we require under this permit often is that a biologist, typically an environmental consultant in Wisconsin, will go to that site, often put fencing up around the project area, and then try to remove as many of the endangered or threatened animals from the site before the project occurs. So the permit allows us to still have development moving forward in areas, but it minimizes to the extent we possibly can the impacts to the rare species.
So we have a clear picture in our mind. The incidental taking might mean, you know, inside that fence line, if you will, you'd relocate that animal or that plant to somewhere else. You also might shoot it. Can you explain what things fall under incidental taking?
Yes. So incidental taking is kind of a fancy legal term.
Thank you for acknowledging that.
Yes. So take is another word for, generally it refers to mortality or moving of an animal. And then the incidental portion is meaning that it's incidental to another legal activity, lawful activity that's occurring. So the development's going in, of course, their first intent is not to kill all the animals in the area, it's to put in a development. So incidental taking generally refers to projects where we think there could be mortality of an animal. And in this situation, it gets a little complicated, but part of that definition also allows for handling or removing animals from a site. So we kind of use it in both ways.
So take us to the present, to the DNR proposing this new system where your agency would issue a one-time permit to remove and relocate animals from sites. How would this this proposed permitting process be different from what's going on now?
Right. So it's similar to what we're doing right now. We are already have the environmental consultants around Wisconsin doing this work, and we work very closely with them. When we have, you know, an application we get for this kind of work, we ensure that the person is qualified. They know the species well. They know what they're looking for, how to remove it, where to remove it. And so this new permit is similar, but it's just streamlining it a bit more. And it's switching from one type of permit. It used to be called an endangered and threatened species permit. And we still have that, but that is primarily for research and education purposes. And since this is a regulatory activity, it will be covered under this new permit. It's a bit more streamlined. The applicant won't know, the applicant being the environmental consultant, won't notice a large change. One of the biggest changes is honestly the name of the permit, but also that we don't need to charge a fee for this permit, which will be beneficial in that we have a fair number of independent biologists around the state that do this work or that want to do this work for small projects to help out. And the fee can be a deterrent in some cases when this really is, you know, is the sole benefit, sole reason we're doing this is the benefit of the species to try to get them out of a project area.
I've heard it referred, though, to a blanket permit that this is moving toward. Is that not accurate?
Yes, that is a yes. We don't typically use that term, but yes,
Okay.
that's a good type of permit name for the permit. It's similar if any folks are familiar with the regulatory process at the DNR. The wetland folks have general or broad or blanket permits. So, yes, so it is a blanket permit. We can cover this, which means we don't need to public notice every single time we have someone doing this work. But we can approve it once, and then we still have all the behind the scenes checks for the person that we need to make sure again that they're qualified, that they know what they're doing, they know which species they're identifying, so that they're doing the best work they can on the site. And I should make the distinction too that there's two permits that will kind of be needed for these projects. So this one we've been talking about covers the biologist that's doing the work. And just really covers them from removing the animal and locating it, literally in most cases on the other side of the fence in suitable habitat. And the second permit is applied for by the company or the agency that's doing the work. So they actually have a separate permit. Those are generally not the blanket permits. Those are generally individual, case-by-case basis. Again, our 2-acre commercial development I mentioned, they would still come to the DNR. We'd work through a conservation plan with them, discuss how they might be able to minimize and mitigate impacts to the plant or animal. And then one of the requirements of their permit, which the individual permit they would be getting, is that they have to hire one of these qualified biologists to conduct removals, and then their project would still go to public notice. So it's
Okay.
not allowing the projects to go ahead. It's just trying to get it more streamlined for these people that are trying to, from a conservation perspective, help the species at the site.
Okay. We're talking about incidental taking and the work of protecting threatened and endangered species. Rory Pulaski is a conservation biologist with the Wisconsin DNR. You can join in with your questions, 800-642-1234. I'm curious, Rory, how many incidental taking permits might the DNR issue in a year?
That is a good question. We keep track of that and it varies, but not a lot. These individual permits, we typically issue about 15, maybe to 20 per year. So not a lot. We do have some of these broad permits. We have one that we use for grassland and savanna management in Wisconsin. Generally, we issue the broad permits when we have one type of activity and we're repeatedly issuing the same permit. It streamlines it more for us and for the applicant so that when we have the exact same permit with the exact same requirements, we're not issuing it constantly going through the longer process. And when there's not going to be as large of an impact, we can go to these broad or blanket permits. So, yeah, about 15 to 20 per year.
And has that stayed pretty steady, or does it ebb and flow?
It stays fairly steady. We've been looking at it, even during COVID, businesses slowed down a bit at the beginning, but it's surprisingly been pretty steady over the years.
Let's take a call. Marcus is in Milwaukee. Marcus, hi. What question is coming up for you?
Good morning. So I was just wondering what your guess input would be for something like bald eagles, because from what I understand, once two bald eagles become a pair and they start having chicks, typically the range that they pick, they come back or they stay in that range almost entirely. And usually they return to the same nest site year after year. So you might be able to remove them once. And I'm just curious then how that would have an effect, because I believe they're still on the endangered species list or the threatened species.
Marcus, thank you for that important scenario. Rory.
Yes, that's a good question and brings up a good point too. So the incidental take permit that we're talking about is at the state level, and it only covers endangered and threatened state-listed species. So we have two different endangered species lists we're working with. One is the state level, and then we also have the federal list, which is endangered and threatened, has endangered and threatened species. And so the bald eagle is not an endangered or threatened species in Wisconsin. It is protected federally by by a Golden and Bald Eagle Treaty Act. And so that would come into play a little bit more. So that would be a fish and wildlife permit that would be issued. So they're the federal counterpart of the DNR. But that it leads to a good question on which species we would conduct removals for. So the for birds, that would not be one that would, you're right, would not be a good fit often. It's difficult to remove birds from an area. And we do look very closely. A lot of these permits we issue are for reptiles. They're in the same area all year long. They use similar habitats. And we look at that for them as well because we have to consider the natural history, the biology of the species. And so for reptiles, for example, they have some what we call scientific term site fidelity, or they tend to imprint on a site. So we have to be very careful if we're moving the animals, we're not moving them too far. And similarly for birds too, if we would ever move them, but they would come back to a site and have the same home range, that might not be the best option. So yes, this applies for, this is used for some species, but there are definitely a lot of species that this would not be the best option for. So we would then go to a different option when we're working with a development company and find a different way to minimize and to mitigate impacts on those rare species.
Rory Pulaski is the DNR's incidental take coordinator as we explore this process of getting approval to relocate wild plants and animals. Call in with your questions about incidental take permits, what you've wondered about the state's authorization process, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation about Wisconsin's incidental take permits as the agency, the DNR, accepts public comments on a proposal to streamline permits. Incidental take, referring to the unintentional loss of individual endangered or threatened animals or plants that wouldn't put the entire population of the species at risk. Join in with what's on your mind about incidental take permits, 800-642-1234. We have DNR conservation biologist Rory Pulaski. She is the agency's incidental take coordinator. Rory, I think you just mentioned lizards there just a moment ago. Which species are being removed most frequently under these permits?
Yes, so the slender glass lizard is actually one that comes up a lot for these permits. So it's our endangered species in Wisconsin. It's actually a legless lizard, so it's mistaken often for a snake. But that species is found in the west central part of the state. It's rare, very rare from a state perspective, but in certain locations, it can be fairly common in small areas. And just partly by the nature of the habitat that that species uses, kind of dry open areas, a lot of times those are suitable for development as opposed to wetlands. And the species also tends to use roadside ditches, transmission line corridors, just seems to interact or to overlap quite a bit with highly suitable areas for development. So that's one we see quite a bit.
In the winter months, though, animals like reptiles and amphibians are hibernating. Does waiting until warmer months to collect animals postpone development plans? Or what about the rhythm of these takes?
Right, that's a good question. We encourage people with these that are getting these kinds of permits or contacting us for endangered resources reviews to just determine in the beginning what species could be present. We encourage them, developers, agencies, to contact us up to a year, even more, before the project begins. So, like we mentioned before with the bald eagle, the biology of the animal is always a very important consideration to us. And we want to make sure the entire purpose of moving these animals is to help them, protect them, and we want to make sure we're doing that correctly. So, yes, for the lizard, they are a species that they're above ground in these habitats I mentioned. They don't usually migrate very far to spend their winter. Some animals do. These guys stay in the same spot and they just go underground and stay below the frost line. And so, if we were doing a development at that time, they wouldn't be out, they wouldn't be above ground. If you would dig in come across one, they wouldn't be moving very much. So in that case, yes, we always have the biology of the species at the forefront, and the work, the clearing of the site of the animals and removing them to better habitat or adjacent habitat would have to wait, would have to be done during their active season, which is generally April or May through September or October. So it's possible we might have to delay a project a bit to get to that point, but our hope is if the agency or company comes to us far enough in advance, we can plan that into to our schedule and to their schedule and not have any delays in the construction, but also make sure we're doing the work during the best time period for the animal.
Rory Pulaski, with us, conservation biologist and the incidental take coordinator for the DNR, as we talk about removal of protected animals and plants when a development moves in. You can call in with your questions, 800-642-1234. Emily is with us in Milwaukee. Hi, Emily.
Hey, good morning. I was just curious for these permits, how much you consider the impact on endangered species or just habitat overall that might be affected by breaking up? Like any kind of disruption to the overall continuity of the habitat that might be caused by development, and just kind of relatedly, like how moving, relocating a species might affect the any endangered species in the area where they're relocated to.
Okay, so really looking at the overall impact of the ecosystems from where that species is now to also where they are going to be entering into. Rory, what about those considerations?
Yeah, so I am a biologist by training, so these are kind of similar thoughts that always go through my mind too when I'm issuing one of these permits. We do everything we can to keep those areas contiguous, to keep contiguous habitat, to keep larger blocks of land. And the caller's correct, this is always a consideration. This is always, almost always an issue for rare species that we're looking at habitat fragmentation. And we don't want to be fragmenting habitat, from one big piece into smaller pieces. So we look at that where possible, and we do work with the developer. If it's a commercial development, maybe a residential subdivision that's going in, that's a couple hundred acres. We will work with them. Again, if we're involved early in the process, we can work with the developer. And a lot of subdivisions now have green spaces available, and so we can work with a developer to try to put that green space in an area, keep some of the prime habitat, some of the really good habitat, keep it connected to the habitat that's outside of the development. And so there can be some design changes that go into effect to look at those kind of those cumulative effects and the habitat fragmentation to a degree.
On average, how far away might animals be relocated so they don't return?
So, and what we're looking for is just relocating. Our primary concern is relocating them for the construction process. So, a lot of times we'll have fencing that will go up around a project site. So, most people have probably seen, maybe not even paid attention to it, but if you're driving down the highway, see a project, even a road project, you may see some black fencing, erosion fencing around the site. And we use something similar in a lot of cases. So, we put that up around the project site. And in most cases, we literally just have the consultant move the animal across the fence. So it could be moved 2 feet. It
Huh,
could be
yeah.
50 to 100 feet. So it really might not be very far. And once the project's done, that fencing is taken down. And usually there's some habitat that remains in that area, like I was mentioning with the green space for a subdivision. And then we would want the animals to come back in and then use that habitat that's still there. But our real purpose is to get them out of the way for the construction activities themselves.
So as we wrap up here, the public comment period ends tomorrow for this proposal. What response have you received on the proposal?
We have gotten a fair number of questions, just wanting information on the process. And I think most folks, when they've understood the process and have gotten more information on it, don't have a lot of strong concerns either way with the permit. But we're always happy to either answer questions or take, we always want comments if people have positive or negative comments that could help us improve the permit.
Rory, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Rory Pulaski is a conservation biologist with the Wisconsin DNR and the agency's Incidental Take Coordinator. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.